a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Gotta get down on Friday, May 9th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, Brian McDonald in for Sean Maple behind the glass. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you can jump aboard at 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You heard voice guys say it. I'm giving the number to you again. You could also do it on YouTube at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. Guess what, guys? Today, a blessed, beautiful day, is also an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask me any question, and I will try my best to work it into the show. Yes, you can ask me about anything. So, it's Diesel Day. Hunter Brown's on the hill for the Astros. They play the Cincinnati Reds. They haven't beaten the Reds since 2016. Now, they haven't played them every single year since 2016, but I think this is the longest stretch the Astros have gone without beating a team in all of Major League Baseball, given that now you play every single team over the course of a season. Pretty noteworthy. Is Diesel going to change things for the Astros? We can only hope. But I want to talk about last night, because yet again, we saw something that we here in Houston are all too familiar with. In the midst of what was a very lopsided game two between the Minnesota Timberwolves and Golden State Warriors, T-Wolves won this one 117-93. No Steph Curry, no chance. Draymond Green did a Draymond Green thing again. If you're his defense attorney, you would say that my client, I do declare, he lost control of his body again. His body just sometimes responds in ways that he cannot control. It's like he's got a demon in there, and we need to exorcise him. We haven't brought him to Joel Osteen yet to perhaps exorcise these body demons and make him flail all over the place and sometimes take somebody out. So he got his fifth tech of the playoffs already. Fifth. Holy crap, man. I mean, we're talking, at this point, 9 games into the playoffs. So he got his fifth. It probably should have been a technical foul. If you haven't seen it, basically, he gets fouled. And as he's getting fouled, I'm not 100% sure what he's trying to do here. But his arms just flail up in the air, and he elbows a man in the face. After the game, Draymond was heated. Here's what he had to say about getting another technical foul and what he imagined the internet backlash would be.
Look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
This is some grade A gaslighting by Draymond. I mean, to take it from the very lengthy body of work, I'm sure someone could put together a 30-minute video of all the line stepping that Draymond Green has done over the course of his career, and then the yelling that he does while on the court, which is caught on camera, and especially considering the Warriors are constantly playing in important playoff games, it's seen on national TV. Draymond, whether it's fair or unfair, you're the one that is the reason that there is this narrative, as you call it. And I'll say this about Draymond. I do agree with some of what he said there. I know a lot of people that are listening right now, you hate Draymond Green, whether it's because of all of his success with the Warriors against the Rockets, some of the talk and trash that he's done to Rockets fans. You saw a lot of it in this series. It's always fun to send Houston home, where he's calling Rockets fans uncreative for the F.U. Draymond. And of course, he did some shoving and pushing and all the stuff that you typically see from Draymond Green, as he would call it, I can't control my body, in that series. There's lots of reasons to not like the guy. But I do think that to a degree, I mean, yeah, he's not like a bad guy off the court. He's just on the court. such a lion stepper that only your fan base, if you had him on your team, would support him. I'm going to try to help Draymond Green out a little bit here. Does anyone remember this? This is from 2016. I believe this was the second time that the Houston Rockets played the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. In 2016, I do not know what this guy was trying to do other than get a headline for himself. But a reporter who I could not find the name of from China on, I think this is April 24th or 25th of 2016, asked Draymond Green this question.
Okay, Draymond, here's an interesting question. So last year you visited us. Game 3, there's no flood, you win. Game 4, there was flood, you lose. And this year you visit us. Game 3, there's a flood, you win. Game 4, there's no flood, game three, there's flood, you lose. Game 4, there's no flood.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you're going to ask a weird-ass question, maybe write it down. I get that there's perhaps a Chinese to English barrier. The man is a Chinese reporter. We do not have his actual name. But Draymond actually gave a really good answer to this, and I think a lot of people in Houston forget this. I was actually watching last night's Timberwolves-Warriors game down at King's downtown for a little blonde versus brunette flag football game, which is tomorrow, benefits Alzheimer's and dementia research. And this guy brought up, hey, remember when Draymond said a lot of nice things about Houston? Here he is saying nice things about the city of Houston 9 years ago.
Brother, asked me about the flood in practice the other day, you know, and I said I pray for the city of Houston because you don't want to see anyone go through that. I feel like you keep trying to get at like us hitting threes or something, and you're trying to get a controversial statement out of me, but you're not, because I feel sorry for the people of Houston. People are losing their homes, losing their cars, losing their lives, losing loved ones, and you're trying to get a controversial statement out of me about the threes we're hitting. I know what you're getting at, but you're not getting that out of me. It sucks. If I was from Houston, I'd do anything I can to help the city out. And I'm sure some of those guys are going to do what they can to help the city out. And you saw a donation the other night. It sucks. Stop trying to do that. That's not cool, man. You keep asking me the same question about this flood. These people are losing their lives, bro. Losing their homes. Don't ask me that no more, because it ain't cool. And you're not getting the statement you want out of me. That's not cool, man. Stop doing that.
I guess this guy had asked at a Rockets-Warriors shoot-around earlier in the series the same kind of question. And get this. Per some guy who worked for CSN Bay Area at the time, I think he got fired an hour later. He was working as some sort of reporter for, I guess, China on the Houston Rockets. Was there a reason to still be interested in the Rockets at that moment in time with Yao Ming in China? With no Yao Ming anymore? I don't know. I truly don't know. But maybe there's a huge fan base of Rockets fans in China that have stuck with the team since then. Whatever the case, that is a moment where Draymond Green did not look like the biggest a-hole. But Draymond has done this to himself on the court. I get that he's pissed off and he's mad here, but it is his fault. Even if he is not an a-hole off the court necessarily, definitely someone who pisses people off with the things that come out of his mouth, and definitely a guy who shoves and does dirty things on the court from time to time to try to get under other teams' skin. I don't think he's a bad guy, but I also look at him and I say, hey, man, you can't cry victim when you are the reason that everyone looks at you in this way. B-Mac behind the glass, what you got?
Yeah, well, isn't it, I'm forgetting the comedian's name. I think it might be Eric Andre who did the skit where he shoots a guy and says, we're all trying to find the person who did this. It kind of feels like that's what Draymond does. He's on tape kicking people in the nuts, choking people, stomping him in the chest, throwing his elbows around, and he tries to turn into the media being unfair and that he's the victim. We can't possibly make us believe that you, a professional athlete, and one that'll probably end up in the Hall of Fame, is so uncoordinated that your elbows flail out every time you're touched and fouled.
That's the part that's difficult to justify. And yeah, you can't cry as if there's some narrative against you when as BMAC said, there's no way anyone believes that someone who is one of the best defenders in the NBA has this little control over his body, you know? He's not a... The guy is not a newborn baby deer that's just come out of the womb and stumbling around.
I was
going to
say giraffe,
around.
But yeah.
Giraffe, horse, you know, the animals that come out and they're walking, and I'm walking here, coming out of the womb, you know? Like,
the giraffes are from New York now?
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird, man, that he does all of that. Had he not, if he was just someone who talked a lot, this would not be the reputation. But unfortunately for him, what he does on the court lends itself to this idea. I get that he's pissed about it, but if you're pissed about it, the way to stop it is to not do it or to apologize after it happens. And he hasn't done it. 713-780-3776 to call. It's a text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask Along Anything Friday. Gary leads things off. He wants to weigh in on Draymond Green. Gary, what you got?
Hey, what's up, Paul? I hate Draymond Green. Not like real life hate, like sports hate. I don't know the guy. Maybe he's a good husband, father. I don't know, nor do I care. But what he puts off on the court is ridiculous. Like, and it's a couple things. Number one, I'm mad at the team. Like, how many times do you get to punch somebody or slap somebody without getting slapped back? Like, there should be like a 6'8 dude who never plays. If I'm a Western Conference coach, and if Draymond slaps one of my players, I'm putting him in the game, and I'm just telling him to punch him in the face. Also, the league allows this. Like, you can get kicked out of a game for slapping somebody or punching somebody. There is enough evidence to where this is not an accident. People do not move like that. That is not normal. He's doing it on purpose. And not to mention, he was born on third and thought he hit a triple. Dude's a good player. He just landed in a...
I get what you're saying, Gary. I think we lost him right there. Oh, Gary, you back. Yeah, I get what you're saying, where he ends up on the Warriors as a second-round pick and everything goes the way that it goes. He had to work hard to get to where he eventually got to. There's no denying that. He is one of the best defenders we have ever seen. But to what Gary was saying earlier, yeah, the league is definitely complicit in this. The league gives him technical fouls instead of just tossing him from the game immediately. How do you learn? How do you realize that this is bad, what you're doing, if time in, time out, Draymond is given a technical foul for this stuff? It should be flagrant. Sometimes it should be flagrant twos, which is immediate ejection. And I don't know if this is an overcorrection from what happened in the 2016 finals when Draymond steps over, LeBron James gets ejected from a game, and the Warriors, who were up 3-1, lose that series to the Cavs. The series clearly affected by Draymond's absence in that one game. I'm wondering if this is just an overcorrection, if this is why they stand by and look the other way and they're whistling. You know, they're like the cop in the town that sees the guys in the van all dressed up with nuns that have got the rifles in the car, and then he just looks the other way. It's very strange. The NBA is just as complicit in this. Draymond can't cry victim here because there's such a track record. I get the point he's trying to make here, but there's so much video evidence of him on the court being this, that if this is the only impression that you get of Draymond Green, and it's just watching him play basketball, then unfortunately a lot of people are going to look at him as an angry black man, fair or unfair. I can get why he's pissed about it, but Draymond, you made this bed for yourself. It's an Ask Along Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call. It's a text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. King of Twitch asks, do you prefer blondes or brunettes? I do not care about hair color. Honestly, pink maybe is where I get a little annoyed, roll my eyes. Pink and green, you know? But, nah, don't really care about hair color. More questions. It's an Ask Along Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call the text. From the 832, which of your on-air personality coworkers smells the best? Who do I think showers the most is really the question that we're asking here. And I got to say, not me, because I don't shower every single day before the show. Sometimes, like today, if I'm wearing a hat, just know that I probably didn't shower.
And not to out you, but I think you've worn that hat 3 days in a row.
Four or five days this week. What? It's a brand new hat, B-Mac.
I wish you had this hat. I like the hat. I'm just saying.
Got this on Monday. Hell yeah, dude. It's my El Tiempo Astros collab hat.
But no, it's definitely not me. I mean, I'll put a little spritz on and stuff, but I'm sure that it's very fortunate for everybody that I'm doing the show by myself in the studio now. I'm sure there's some days where I don't smell the best. We're talking on-air personalities. I'm going to guess, and this is just me, I'm going to guess John Granato. So next time I see Granato, I'm going to give him a little whiff.
I think he's the most likely to wear cologne.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that plays in his favor.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's living that ritzy high life. He was at the Oscars. Like, he might bathe in cologne. They've got Dior at his place, you know, thanks to the lady who's like one of the higher ups, most higher ups at ABC. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. From the 409, the last thing I want to hear right now is Draymond Green's voice. Okay, fine. Well, how about this? There's a controversy over the Pope. No, not that one, because you could have that controversy with probably, I'm Catholic, I can say this, probably just about every single priest, cardinal, bishop out there. But no, there's a controversy about Pope Bob's fanhood. Who is Pope Bob really a fan of? And guess what? He witnessed Houston sports misery firsthand, and he was rooting for it. Are we out on the Pope now? 713-780-3776 to call the text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Eric the Driver, longtime listener of the Paul Gallant Show, texts, the league encourages Draymond Green to be as dirty as he can because they know it draws eyes to the games. The NBA is dying, and Silver believes that any publicity is good publicity, so he encourages Draymond's bleep with no repercussions to draw in views. That sounds a little WWE-esque, in my opinion. I just think that they do not want to have on their hands a situation where they eject him from a meaningful game again. But it lets Draymond continue to do Draymond things, which is generally to wildly flail uncontrollably with his body whenever someone touches him slightly. It's a weird, definitely voluntary response that Draymond tries to make seem like it's involuntary. You know, like when you're at the doctor's getting a checkup and the doctor's got that hammer and he pops you on the knee to see if the knee pops back out. Also in the last segment, it is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Someone asked, who smells best at the station? I said that I don't necessarily shower every day. Sometimes I shower after the show is done. Texter, what grown-up doesn't shower every day, walking around smelling like a wet dog? I don't smell like a wet dog, I don't think. You know, it's not like I'm coming from working out or anything like that. But there are some days where I might have done late night work for the show. Yes, I know. You might think I go out every single night. I generally don't. There are some days that I accidentally sleep in a little bit too long, and then the work that I do in the morning, pre-show prep, I don't get as much done as I want to in time, and then I get to a point where I'm like, do I shower and waste 30 minutes, or do I continue to prep for the show? So I'm not showering for you guys. That's what I'm trying to say here. What a flex. What a noble gesture by me, you know?
I'm too hardworking to shower.
Exactly, Freeback. That's exactly it. More texts here, because I said that Granato probably smells the best. I think he bathes in Dior. Granato probably smells like Coors Light, says a texter. Well, that would smell pretty good, too, I think. Anyway, you want to jump in, you know how to do it. The new Pope. Pope Bob the first. I'm not calling him Pope whatever the hell the 14th. Hell no. Pope Bob. Did you know that this guy is from Chicago? Now you do. Did you know that everyone was trying to claim him as a fan of their franchise? Well, guess who found out the hard way and got community noted for a bunch of BS, some lies that they were peddling. The Chicago Cubs tried to claim Pope Bob the First as theirs. Guess what? Turns out, and this is per Pope Bob's brother, it turns out he's a White Sox fan.
Clear up the thing about the Cubs and White Sox.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there. And our dad was a Cardinals fan, so I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from Northside, so that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
That is very strange, isn't it? You're in a family. First off, house divided. Probably got one of those goofy doormats with Cardinals fan and a Cubs fan. Second, if you're a White Sox fan when your parents are both fans of other teams and your entire family is fans of the Cubs, I'm wondering what this Pope's going to be like. Seems like this guy is 100% Pope Bob the First. Seems like Pope Bob is a zagger. Seems like Pope Bob is a contrarian. Going to be interesting to see what he does. But he's also a White Sox fan. And I saw some photos from cron.com. It seems that Pope Bob the First witnessed one of the most difficult moments in Houston Astros history. This is game two of the 2005 World Series. He was here.
Podsednik hits one to deep right center field. Back at the wall. This ball is gone. Podsednik goes deep. His second home run of the postseason. And the White Sox win it 7-6.
The Pope was there. Pope Bob was there to revel in that, to enjoy that. Is Pope Bob the First an enemy of the Houston sports state? Should we gather the bishops of the Archdiocese of Houston / Galveston together and recommend an excommunication, not for the controversial thing that has popped up about him, for the more controversial thing, that this man, who's, you know, supposed to be focusing on the Lord, was focusing on glorifying and idolizing the Chicago White Sox in the midst of the 2005 World Series. Yeah, we might be out on Pope Bob the first American Pope, a day into his reign as Pope.
I mean, the man rooted for A.J. Pierzynski. Like, what bigger sting could you say?
Great point.
I mean, he's a fan of A.J. Pierzynski.
I mean, I'm not saying A.J. Pierzynski is the devil. Nor am I saying AJ.
I've never seen him in the same place. I'm just saying.
It's a fair point. Didn't think about it that way. But at the same time, I mean, he's rooting for that team. So he's also kind of a born loser. You know, I get that the White Sox have the one World Series, but the White Sox fan base getting a Pope in their midst, I mean, this is truly their biggest victory in 20 years because they won the World Series in 05. And one of their biggest victories ever because they did not win a World Series from 1917 through
2005.
Yeah. Like, they actually had a longer stretch than the Boston Red Sox and no one talked about it. Yeah, it's funny because no one cared because no one likes the White Sox. But hey, this Pope does, and it seems like he did it to be a rebel against his family.
I will say, can we say a little bit of kindred spirit to White Sox fans? I mean, they did have the cheating scandal like way, way, way back. I mean, they flat out had players gambling on the games and throwing the World Series.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe a little bit of kindred spirits here between White Sox fans and Astros fans?
A little bit. But I don't know.
I think 05 ruined it.
Definitely.
When Scott Posetnik went deep on you, that was over.
Right. And also, I mean, they threw the World Series. What the White Sox did is the worst thing that ever happened.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. I mean, yeah, Joe Jackson, shoeless Joe Jackson, who was apparently just a rube, like a stupid person. No offense. Apparently, he had no idea like what was going on.
No, he still played well.
But he was excommunicado from baseball from there on out. From the 832, shouldn't Pope Bob be a Cardinals fan or an Angels fan? I'll show myself out. Bazinga. Fun times. That's a great text there. From the 281, Paul, will you be doing the Pope's impression now in Da Bear's voice? I don't know if I do that good of a Chicago accent. I don't know if it's that good. Honestly, this would be a great spot for Joe George to step in and tell me whether or not I'm warm or cold.
Feels more Minnesota.
I feel like it's all the same to a degree.
Yeah, fair.
Da Bears? Yeah. Joe would definitely do a better version of that. Someone asked on the text line because we were talking about, hey, which of your on-air colleagues here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on an Ask Lund Anything Friday smells the best. I said, John Granata does, and I don't necessarily shower every day. Someone asked if the reason that Joe is no longer a part of this radio program is because of my stench. It could be. It very well could be. You know, I wouldn't know. I couldn't tell you. Anyway, the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Lund Anything Friday. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. Houston Texans minicamp kicks off today. Rookie minicamp. And guess what? Nick Caserio continues to be a pioneer as a general manager. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Thus far in the show, we've talked about how Draymond Green's mad about the narrative about him being an angry black man after yet another technical foul, his fifth of the playoffs thus far. Give him a flagrant for some of these NBA. You got to step in and actually lay down the law. But the NBA, the front office, it's a bunch of pushovers. Honestly, if they need a David Stern type, I think, to perhaps get more people to like the league. I still like the NBA a lot. These playoffs have been pretty fun. I mean, most of these games have been really competitive in the second round. And hell, in the first round, you had a couple. Rockets-Warriors was a very fun series. We were also talking about the Pope. The Pope is a Chicago White Sox fan, and he was at Game 2 of the 2005 World Series between the Astros and White Sox. Someone texted in a dad joke. We appreciate dad jokes on this show. I think that the Pope might be a Cardinals or a, what was the other team? I forgot off the top of my head. Angels fan. Thanks, B-Mac. And someone else texted in, actually, the Pope would probably be a Padres fan. Yes, I forgot. There's an actual team named after priests in Major League Baseball. Some other questions on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Someone texted it. Paul, I always believe you had Joe George shipped off to the past 6 p.m. show because of your narcissism. Hey. And navigate Frank Sinatra, your way or the highway. You got to have it Paul way, baby. I mean, I'm definitely a little bit of a narcissist, and I definitely am a bit of a control freak, but no. Joe walked away on his own terms. We had fun doing the show over the course of a year. He's still a part of the station, and he's hanging out in Chicago this weekend, so I hope he's having fun. Perhaps he can do some investigative journalism to determine what other things the Pope was a fan of. Was he a Da Bears fan? Was he a Bulls fan? And would he use the powers of his papacy, old Pope Bob the First, to perhaps, I don't know, call for a crusade on specific sports franchises? God wills it! God wills it! That would be funny. Some other texts, too. This is about who smells the best at ESPN 97.5. Paul picking another man at the office instead of one of the nice ladies as the colleague that smells the best is just reinforcing the Gallant theory. Sir, if I were sniffing the women of ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and everyone else at Gal Media, Your boy would be gone, you know, HR and P. You know, I'd be going right down to the end of the line, hat in hand. I'd be gone. You think I'm gonna name someone of the opposite sex? I can't name someone that is a fellow co-host, though. Better question, the texter asks, who smells the worst? I would say, because I cannot determine who showers and who doesn't shower on a regular basis, I would say that I have probably smelt the worst the most. Just saying. There have been a couple of times where I have actually walked to the station, like on Paul Pierce, A couple of those times came during the winter. But one of those, two of those, three of those, four of those, five of those, six of those, seven of those, while I was in the midst of a dramatic, prolonged battle with State Farm, my car insurance agency, after I got hit and run by someone on Westheimer, I walked to work, which is about a mile away from here, about a 20-minute walk here, 20-minute walk there, in the midst of July. Gotta say, those days, I probably did not smell very good once I got into the station. So there you go. EDF1919 on YouTube says, Paul is not Joe Biden, doesn't sniff people. Wasn't that the Cuomo governor? I don't know. He might have just been being Italian. He couldn't help it. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Houston Texans rookie minicamp kicks off today. Basically, it's orientation. Nothing of note is going to happen there. It's just rookies, and not just the drafted rookies, but the undrafted rookies that they brought in. So what are we going to get out of it? You might hear some interesting tidbits quote-wise coming out of some Texans players, but it is, as far as off-season things to go to and watch, it is literally the most meaningless. We'll see what rookies, I guess, are the most interesting with a microphone in front of them. That's it. The one thing of note over the last 24 hours for the Houston Texans is that Nick Caserio continues to be avant-garde when it comes to the way that he gives contracts out. This is a guy who likes giving out three-year deals, but he made history by giving second-round pick Jaden Higgins the first fully guaranteed contract for a second-round player in NFL history. I thought all the money was guaranteed, but I guess if things don't necessarily work out for Higgins, he is going to be getting paid the entirety of the way. And I'll say this about Jaden Higgins. Of all the Houston Texans rookies, that's the one that I think might have the best chance to contribute, so I'm expecting him to contribute the most. I say that because, sure, they also drafted Jalen Noel out of Iowa State, but I think that they've got their number one wide receiver is Nico Collins. They've got their slot wide receiver is Christian Kirk, who they signed this offseason. And Higgins is probably going to be one of those receivers who, I forget if it's the X or the Z, I'm not going to act like I know, but he's going to be probably a receiver who moves around in motion, but will be one of those guys who is generally lined up on the outside, on the other side of Nico Collins. They have huge wide receivers right now. Huge. This is like old school Chargers. Chargers used to have some big ass wide receivers. It was like Mike Williams. I forget the other guy's name, but they had some huge wide receivers in the not too distant past. Anyway, you want to jump in on an Ask Alon Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Interesting. From the 281. Game 7 Celtics championship or a Red Sox championship after Game 7. Has to pick one. I don't like the Red Sox anymore, so that one's an easy one. Also, and I talked about this earlier in the week with Sean, I am not stressing about Celtics-Knicks, even though they're down 0-2. There's a part of me, a sick part of me, that would like to see Celtics down 0-3, which they have come back from before to at least force a Game 7, go down 0-3 to the Knicks, only to beat the Knicks in 7 games. I would love that, just as another little cherry on top in my rivalry with my New York sports fan friends, who many of whom I went to college with. That would be a fun little wrinkle. From the 832, Paul, I'm organizing a margarita tour for my friend's birthday. That sounds awesome. Do you have any recommendations besides El Tiempo to add to the tour? Ninfas, it'll make it easier if you're doing it in downtown because there's a Ninfas right next to, the original Ninfas is right next to El Tiempo. Fusion Taco, I think, has very good margaritas. Tio's as well, that's in the same area as Fusion. I think Tacos or Go-Go has pretty good margaritas that you can actually get on the go. And I am a sucker for this, and not a lot of people think that this take that I have is crazy, but I really like Easy Liquor Lounge's margaritas. They're very sweet. They are very, very sweet. The frozen ones that they have, and I like frozen margs, whatever. A lot of people think that's a controversial opinion. I love their frozen margaritas, though. So now you know. Now you know the rest of the story. 713-780-3776 to call to text on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN975. Up next. It seems that Houston, Texas has its own Pollos Hermanos situation from Breaking Bad. And to tell us more about it, we're going to have someone who's actually done a full podcast episode on this, which I found very interesting. Our guy, Raheel, rejoins the ESPN 97.5, 92.5 community for 15 minutes. You'll fill us in on what the hell's happening with Turkey Leg Hut. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Sometimes you see a story so interesting you need to talk about it in great detail. And I saw this story posted earlier last week. This is the caption from the Houston Chronicle. An FBI agent testified Thursday that Turkey Leg Hut was used to store and sell large amounts of marijuana. I mean, this sounds straight out of Pollos Hermanos from Breaking Bad. So joining us to tell us more about this and explain it to us, because I'm too lazy to read, like I'm a dummy, from CityCast Houston, your friend, our friend, Raheel Ramzali. Raheel, thank you for joining us. So we had a Pollos Hermanos in our backyard. What the hell?
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Hey, you were breaking up. What did you just say?
So this is sounding to me like a Pollos Hermanos kind of situation from Breaking Bad. The Turkey Leg Hut. So this is, so what can you tell us about this off the top of your head that really makes this story, which is pretty crazy to begin with, stand out? Because you talked about it on CityCast Houston.
Okay. So let's do, I'm going to lay it out and you pause me at any point, okay, because it does kind of sound like Los Pollos Hermanos, right? But it's kind of beyond that, right? Like there wasn't this big like drug cartel or ring, from my understanding and from what we've learned from these FBI allegations, because that's what they are right now. They're allegations right now. So you know, there's going to be a trial for Wynn Price. That's the main player in all of this. If you want, he's like the Gus. Right. So Lynn Price is one of the co-owners of the Turkey Leg Hut, along with his then wife, Nakia Holmes. The Turkey Leg Hut now is gone. It's extinct. It's gone bankrupt. There was so many different issues, as we're going to learn throughout. But the allegations were that at the prime, the height of the Turkey Leg Hut, which was renowned nationally, this was the place for celebrities to come when they came into town. The Turkey Leg Hut was allegedly dealing weed with Turkey Leg Hut branded bags to customers. Okay, so this is one of the allegations. And Paul, that's one of them. Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Oh my God!
Then, that's just like that's the first one. The second allegation that the FBI agents are making is that. Okay, I got to back up. So there's another player in this, Steve Rogers, I believe is his name. He's like a part owner of the Turkey Leg Hut. So Lynn Price and Nakia Holmes at the time, they wanted to get into business with Steve on a bar that was near the Turkey Leg Hut called Bar 5015. Steve was like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to do this on my own. So, then what happens is Lynn starts making threats that, hey, you didn't let us in, so now we're going to burn your place down. And guess what happened?
They burned it down?
Allegedly, he hired some people to go burn the bar down. And there was major damage, and that bar is now extinct because it just could never recover. So then he went and burned this place down, all right, part of it at least. That's number two. Then in all of this, like no one's talking about this part, in these allegations, Lynn Price, again, one of the co-owners of the Turkey Leg Hut, was supposedly running like a car chop shop / stealing big, heavy manufacturing equipment and big trucks and chopping those down as well. Okay? That's the third one. Paul, if that wasn't enough for you.
What do we got?
They found a flamethrower in his house. You know, like, who brought the flamethrower?
Well, I think we know what set the place on fire now.
Yeah. So it's crazy what happened to the turkey leg hut. And I get the comparison you're making. Like, could he be Gus Fring, right? To me, it feels more like, is he Suge Knight?
So this is just somebody who's going after anybody who dares to, you know, push him in a slight amount of force.
Yeah. It's crazy what happened with the turkey leg hut. This was one of the restaurants, in my opinion, you go back when they first opened, it was so popular. It felt like one of those restaurants that was going to go national. It was going to become this big brand out of Houston that made it, right?
Yeah.
There were lines. It was a good product, right? Like, some people disagree. Like, it's a good product. It was good when I had it. It just felt like a cultural movement almost. And then all of this happened. And Nakia Holmes and Lynn Price eventually separated. Nakia was running it on her own for the last, like, year and a half or so, roughly. There was a fire at their offices. Then they went bankrupt. But at the same time, Lynn Price, who, again, was not part of Turkey Leg Hut, started this oyster pop-up right across the street from the Turkey Leg Hut.
That's so petty.
Very successful. It was just so wild what happened with potentially a big brand that could have made it.
Raheel Ramzali from CityCast Houston with us. And you've done a full episode on the Turkey Leg Hut. And I remember only figuring out about this story because the FBI alleges they sold hundreds of pounds of marijuana using bags branded with restaurant logos. So at what point have you laid out all the messy things that this Turkey Leg Hut has found itself embroiled in with all the characters at play? At what point did they start looking into them for selling the bags that had the restaurant logo that also had a little weed in them?
That I'm not sure when this investigation started. So that's what, like, I didn't get any word on, like, when they started digging into all of this, because this fire happened in 2020, okay, the Bar 5015 fire. The allegations of the actual, like, dealing go back to, like, 2019. So I'm not sure what prompted this investigation. So, yeah, I don't have an answer on that one. But the trial is coming up for Lynn Price. You know, there's so much. And the Turkey Leg Hut, as I mentioned, they went bankrupt. They're closed. But they're done. I don't know if they're going to pop back up or what's going to happen. But, you know, they owe a lot of money to vendors as well. So it was just a disaster, man. They mishandled this so much. And, of course, you know, alleged criminal activities will probably do that, Paul.
It does that.
But it's just crazy, man.
There's a part of me that hopes that we will have access to the actual court proceedings for this. Wonder if it's a federal case. Is that the ones where we only get the court drawings, or are those the ones that we actually get to go in and witness? Because I would assume that characters that, I don't know, may have hired four men, allegedly, to set fire to a bar are probably also very entertaining with a microphone placed in front of them.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna find out a lot during this trial, if it makes it to trial, right? Like, we'll see. We're going to find out, you know, all of the drama. I know our the people that we bring on the show, right, from Crime.com, Erica Chang and others from the Houston Chronicle, two separate publications, by the way, they're planning on covering this trial if it makes it to trial.
My favorite part about this was a quote that I saw. I've never heard this before, but Lynn Price, who you're talking about, had posted, you know what it is. I'll be home in a minute, baby. It's three sides to every story. Believe mine, man. When I come home, you're going to hear the whole story. I have never heard three sides to every story said as if it's a commonly said saying, but Lynn Price, he's pushing boundaries.
I like that. I mean, why there should be three sides to a story? Why? I mean, look, we need a tiebreaker, right? Like, why do we always just go with two sides of the story? I need a third one in there.
Also, on top of that, Raheel, he said, this is great. see you in a minute. We out this week. If you're shucking with me, keep shucking. So now, I mean, he's really leaned into the oyster brand to get away from the turkey leg brand.
Yeah, the turkey, the turkey was great. It was stuffed with all sorts of stuff, but the oysters actually look pretty good. I'm not going to hate. Like, I saw the pictures. I saw it on Instagram. It looks pretty good. I love a good Oyster Rockefeller, okay? I like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe the oysters are that good, but I wish I had that much confidence like Lynn does. Like, Lynn's like, whatever, we're good. This is nothing.
I'm wondering if...
I don't have that much confidence.
I don't either. I mean, I wouldn't have any in it. I'm wondering if he's going to try to bring in Rusty Harden or Tony Busby or something like that, but I imagine they're looking at this. We don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, especially if he owes everyone all the money. Might not be the most reliable payment source.
Yeah. Well, Turkey Leg Hut owes the money. I don't know if Lynn will be personally responsible, right? Because I'm sure Turkey Leg Hut is an LLC, so they'll figure that out. But, yeah, this is more about Lynn Price, the man, the person, like all these allegations.
This is fascinating stuff. Raheel, appreciate you joining us. Raheel does CityCast Houston. He does a full episode on Turkey Leg Hut, which, again, I think there's a lot of similarities to Poyas Hermanos from Breaking Bad. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. You can check out CityCast Houston wherever you listen to podcasts or go to houston.citycast.fm. Thanks, Paul.
Anytime, Raheel. Raheel Ramzali. Ah, sorry, I always screw it up. Raheel Ramzali joining us. CityCast Houston, you heard what he said. Subscribe to the podcast. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, is this guy a possibility for the Houston Rockets, especially given that his team is struggling around through the playoffs? We've talked about him before. You'll hear who we are talking about once again on the other side. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.